Now, some of you may be able to notice, I've got quite a light coloured shirt on today, but I've got a dog collar on. As you know, if you come to this service regularly, a lot of the time we don't wear these. We do earlier on in the day. I like to talk about our church as a day of getting undressed on Sundays. If you come at 8 o'clock in the morning, you'll see us wearing dresses. And then as the services go on throughout the day, we gradually take layers off. But I'm keeping this on today just because I want to talk this morning about priesthood. If that sends you to sleep immediately, wake up, because I'm hoping it'll be helpful. We're going through a series as a church, going through the book of 1 Peter. Now, if you were here last week, I listened to Heather's talk online. Hopefully you found that really helpful. If you weren't here last week, do go onto the website and listen to Heather's talk, because she talks a little bit about the background of who wrote this book. But basically, it was one of Jesus' friends, thought to be Peter, the apostle. So someone that was around with Jesus when he was alive on earth. And we're in chapter 2, and we're going to be focusing on a couple of verses this morning. Now, before we read those verses, I want to show you a picture. This was me a couple of weeks ago, in my dress. We call them robes. And this was with the bishop, and it was a special service where I was priested. So I wasn't a priest before 2 weeks ago, and now I am. And I wanted to get a selfie with the bishop. So. Now, for some of you, you're wondering what on earth is the makes the difference. I thought you were ordained a year ago, and that's true, I was. I was ordained a deacon a year ago, and then 2 weeks ago, I was ordained a priest. And for many of you, you have not grown up in an Anglican church, and so a lot of these words and these processes are maybe foreign to you. And so I thought it would be helpful this morning just to talk a little bit about what priesthood is. And my main point I want you to go away with today is that you are all priests. Now, I wear a collar, I wear a uniform, but that's more about my role and an office in this particular community. And I'm actually going to take it off just to help you understand that you are priests just as I am a priest. And we're going to read that this is biblical, and we're going to read from 1 Peter 2, from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now, Peter is not just talking to me. He's not just talking to Simon, our vicar. He's not just talking to all the priests who have been ordained in the Church of England, and not just talking to the priests in the Catholic Church. This is a letter to the church. This is a letter to all of us. All of us are counted in the holy priesthood. If you have decided that you want to follow Jesus, and that you said that he is your Lord and your friend and your Savior, then this includes you. Priesthood is God's pattern to commune with his creation. And to sort of explain that in a simpler way, a part is called out from the whole, both to lead in offering worship to God, but also to be God's means of blessing the world. And I've got some slides, hopefully, that will help illustrate this. So when God created the world, he was communing with his creation. He was in the garden, and he spent time with Adam and Eve, and they walked together, it talks about, walking together in the garden. Now, God said to Adam and Eve, go and take care of the world. God called a part of creation and said, go and bless the rest of it. And Adam and Eve were called as priests to lead in offering creation back to God in worship, but also to bless and look after the rest of creation. Now, to ensure that communion between God and creation continued, it meant that both parties needed to be faithful. Just like in a marriage, for a marriage to work, it requires both parties to be faithful in covenant together. But the problem was, God was faithful, but humans weren't. And we all know, hopefully, the story. Whether you believe Genesis to be a literal or allegorical, symbolic story, the message is the same. Humans messed up. We were unfaithful. Now, God hasn't just given up on creation. He hasn't just given up on this desire to be in relationship with us. And so he had a plan to commune again with us. And so he set apart Israel. Next slide. He set apart Israel both to offer creation's worship back to God, but also to be a means of God's blessing to the rest of the world. But the problem was is that that Israel became a nation. It became a big group of people. And that's hard to coordinate. And so what was required is this same pattern. So God called a part of Israel out from the whole to both offer Israel's worship and to be a means of God's blessing to Israel. And so the Levitical priests, and if you're familiar with Exodus, the story of Exodus, we hear about Aaron, who was Moses, I think his brother, who was called to be a priest, called out to be a priest, and of the tribe of Levi. So a part of Israel was called out both to offer up worship, and this was quite complicated, with lots of sacrifices, and offer on behalf of Israel the worship back to God, but also to be a means of God's blessing. As they offered worship up, God blessed Israel. Problem was, is they were all unfaithful. And if you have read the Bible, which I encourage you to do, try and read it from beginning to end at least once in your life. More the better. But it really helps you get a sense of this whole big story, the God story. And the story throughout the Old Testament is humanity just becoming unfaithful again and again and again. And God's saying, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. God called a part to bless the whole, but that part was unfaithful. And so eventually Jesus comes, and Jesus is the high priest, the great high priest, completely faithful, the only one who is perfect, who could faithfully offer himself as a sacrifice once and for all. He was called out from humanity, fully human, and yet also fully God. He's the only one that's been able to connect us back together once and for all because he's faithful. And really, that should be the end of the story. If it's once and for all, we've got a great high priest. That should be the end of the story for priesthood. And yet Peter is still saying, after Jesus has done it once and for all, after Jesus has sacrificed and risen back to life, connecting God back with creation again, Peter is still saying, you're a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. So why do we still have priesthood? Well, I think God likes this pattern. God likes this pattern. And if you look around the world today, if you listen to the news, you'll be painfully aware of how broken our world is, still is. Jesus kick-started the recreation, restoration process, restoring this world back to the creation he designed it to be, back to the place where he communes again and walks in the garden with us. So we're in the in-between stage. God's kick-started it with Jesus. And yet we haven't reached fulfillment yet. And God wants to include and involve us in that process of recreation. And that's why he still needs priests. And that's you and me. That's us. We are part of God's plan. We are part of God's priestly plan, both to offer up the worship of humanity back to God. Drawing people. That's why we talk about evangelism so much in this church. It's why we run Alpha every term. It's why we are getting involved in the turning, getting out on the streets and telling people about Jesus. Because we want to offer up everyone in worship to God. We want to draw everyone back to God. But we also believe that our role as a church is to be God's means of blessing the world. And the only reason we can do all this is because of Jesus, the faithful one. We stand in his faithfulness. We stand in his faithfulness. So a part is called out from the whole. Now, you might be still wondering, well, why do we have priests like me? Why do we ordain priests in the Church of England? Why do we have ministers and why do we call them priests? Well, because I believe that this is still God's pattern. And a bit like Israel, a big nation, hard to coordinate that, offering up worship and being a blessing to the world. We still need leaders. And if we're all priests, why not call the ministers priests? That is their role. Not to do it for you. I'm not going to offer up worship for you. I'm not going to bless the world for you. But my job and Simon's job is to equip you and encourage you and facilitate that worship. Encourage you to get out of these walls and bless this town. To show that God loves this town. And the reason for the uniform, if you could call it that, just so it's helpful. Helpful to know who the leader is in a particular community. We do it in other areas of life. Now, I don't want us to get too focused on the ministers bit, because actually I want to return back to the church. This is you guys. This is our calling. You're all called to be priests. John Wimber, who kickstarted the Vineyard movement really helpfully about 30 years ago, helping us to discover that God wants everyone to play, was one of his phrases. Helped remind us as a church that we are all priests. And he once encountered a situation where a member of his congregation had met someone in great need. After the service, this man came up to John Wimber and in frustration said, "This man needed a place to stay, food and support whilst he gets on his feet and looks for a job." He said, "I tried phoning the church office, but they couldn't help him at the moment. I finally ended up having to let him stay at my house for a week." Don't you think the church should take care of people like this? Isn't that what the church is for? And John Wimber thought for a moment and said, "It looks like the church did." Have you ever grumbled a little bit that the church isn't doing enough? The minister, maybe Simon or myself, you've grumbled that we haven't called you when you've been ill. Maybe we have missed out on some pastoral need. Maybe we've failed in some area. Who's the church? It's not me. It's all of us. God's calling all of us. Jane Holloway, who's a member of our church, works for a prayer movement. We were in a meeting a few weeks ago and we're talking about volunteers. And she said, "There's no volunteers in the kingdom of God. And we need to be careful about this use of the language of volunteers. There's just priests. We're all priests." So are you being a blessing to humanity? Focusing it down a little bit, are you being a blessing to Whitney? And let's focus it down a little bit more. Are you being a blessing to your neighbours? Are you being a blessing to your work colleagues? To the social groups that you're part of outside of church? When people think of you, do they think, "Oh yeah, they're such a wonderful person"? Always. They might not use that word blessing, because that's quite a churchy word, isn't it? But do they think of you as someone who looks out for others, looks to bring life into others? I wonder how people view you. Do your neighbours even know you exist? Do they even know you're a Christian? And let's bring it a little bit closer to home now, in the church here. Are you a blessing to each other? In the last year, we've had lots and lots of new people come into our services, into our connect groups, into our toddler groups. The sad thing is we've had some feedback recently from not just a few, but I imagine it's more than just the few that have told me. But people are coming in here to all our services and leaving with no one speaking to them. That is the reality. And it's hard, I know it's hard. As a church grows bigger, it's hard to notice who's new. And we can easily just gravitate towards our friends, to those that we know. But our calling is to be a blessing. And one simple way you can bless someone is by talking to them, particularly if they're new and not sure where to go, not sure how to connect in. That's why I encouraged us at the beginning of this service to talk to someone new. Now, my encouragement to you is to choose one person inside this church today. Choose one person and think how you could bless them. Preferably someone you don't know, because I think that would be an even better blessing if you were to invite them for coffee or take a moment to listen to a bit of their story. So that's one person in church, one person outside church, outside this church family. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a work colleague. Think this week, how can you be a blessing to them? How can you be a priest to them? It might be a very similar thing, asking to get them a coffee, sitting down, taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule just to ask them how their day's going. Or it might be, if you don't think you're going to bump into neighbors, colleagues, why don't put the bins back or something? Something practical. But how can we be a blessing? I've taken some of what I've talked about today from a book called The Widening Circle by Graham Tomlin, who was the principal at my college where I trained. And he's now the Bishop of Kensington. And you'll have probably picked up during the Grenfell Tower incident how much of a blessing the church has been. It's in the Kensington area. And Graham Tomlin has been in countless photos just there on the street seeking to be a blessing to that community. I talked about being ordained as a priest. Well, I think you can be ordained as well. You can be ordained when you get baptized. Baptism is our ordination to priesthood as Christians. And if you're baptized, why not, when we come to the communion table now, why not come and remember your baptism vows and be reminded of God's calling to you to be a priest, to be a blessing. And if you're not baptized, well, we've got a baptism coming up in a few weeks' time on the 23rd of July. Why not get baptized on that day? Come talk to me after. I'd love to talk to you about that. We're baptizing a few adults in a swimming pool after the morning service. I'd love to baptize you if you feel like you want to follow Jesus and make him known and be a blessing to the world. Amen.